I first heard about the project about 5 years ago. Back then, they were working on the Wind River Virtual Museum. That was a Wyoming PBS project. And Matt Hames was the director who they selected for it. And he was just looking for people to kind of help him find other individuals. So I started helping him with that. But meanwhile, I was working with the Wind River Hotel and Casino, working with the cultural room. And he just started asking me questions about what I was doing. And then he just started filming me as we created the room and then my journey through that whole experience.
Yeah. Can you give me some examples of some of your favorite items and just kind of what the process was that you had to go through to get these items?
Some of the pieces are on loan to us from the Episcopal Church. That's a big part of the movie. And you get to see how that kind of goes about and how we initiated that. There's probably about 300 items in that collection. We display 20 of them. I really like the parflesh items because they're very, you just wonder what people had to go through to create them. You know, it wasn't just like going to the store and buying something. It was like you had to, you know, kill the animal and do the tanning and all this stuff, and also the designs behind it.
Michaela, do you want to tell me a little bit about how you got involved in this? Because I know you're a dancer, is that right?
Yeah. Well, I would just go from different powwows all across the country, Canada, and represent my title, not only my title, but my tribe, my family, and who I am as a Indian person. And at the time I was selected, I was 16. And it was towards the end of my reign that the director, Matt Hames, got a hold of me and asked me if I would like to be involved with this. And then
And how long had you been dancing and been the powwow princess before that even?
Well, I've been dancing since I was probably about one. I'm really involved with my nieces and nephews, so I'm trying to teach them what I know, what I've learned from my older siblings, my grandparents, my mom and dad. Powwows are more of a contemporary way of American Indians expressing themselves. So our outfits are made out of beadwork, quill work, parflesh, and applique. And beadwork and quill work date back to since before reservation life. And I guess quill work is more kind of the older form of how we expressed ourselves in our art. The quill work of the Arapaho people is very, very beautiful. And it's kind of like a dying work of art for us as Arapaho people. So.
And so, yeah, that must have been quite an experience to have filmmakers kind of embed themselves into your life. Can you talk about what that was like?
Actually, the cinematographer that was a part of it, he just made everything so smooth, and I guess that's what a good cinematographer does, is he made it so comfortable that it didn't feel like I was being followed around by big old cameras and a film crew.
Now, there was a third point of view in the film as well. Do you guys mind telling me just a little bit about his side of the story as well?
Philbert McLeod, he was the Eastern Shoshone elder. He passed away, but his story is really about wanting to share and pass on that knowledge. So he's like a big part of it.
And he was a veteran who had a special object that he felt kept him safe when he was at war. Is that correct?
Yeah, he went to Vietnam. It was given to him by an individual who told him that it would always protect him and watch over him. So that's just a nice ties into
It's
that
like a little
beaded medallion. Yeah, and it's just the idea that it goes back to why Native people make things, you know, it's because everything has a purpose.
Yeah. Now, I know that there is the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. Do you mind talking a little bit about why that act is so important in the background of this film?
NAGPRA was a law passed in 1990 because prior to that, anthropologists basically had free rein of Native graves, Native sites, whatever. And that's how a lot of museums collected a lot of the items that they have, is just because anthropologists would go through and collect different items. So there's really nothing protecting Native people. This is a way that NAGPRA helps Native tribes reclaim items of cultural patrimony through institutions that receive federal funds.
And I know a lot of the arguments that those museums make is, well, but where would these tribes put these items if they got them? How would they take care of them? They're safer here in a museum. What would you say is a good place where the tribes can be able to safely bring these items home?
Well, it's the idea that some items were meant to deteriorate and some items were meant to return to the earth. So some items are not meant to be in a glass case.
And so I know that once people have seen this film, they're going to want to know, you know, what your future is going to be. What's next for each of you? Do you mind just sharing what your hopes and dreams are for the next step of your lives?
Well, right now, currently, I'm working on my elementary education degree. So I definitely want to return to the reservation and work at the elementary school there. So I can incorporate the cultural aspect of our way of life and involve that in their lives.
Yeah. How about you?
And I just really want to help the tribes expand the Northern Apple Experience cultural room and work with the tribe's preservation department and hopefully one day build a museum where we could do house more items and display different things and basically tell our story our way.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for taking some time and best of luck with the film and with what is next for you in your futures.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The documentary What Was Ours will air Monday, January 16th at 9 p.m. on Wyoming PBS.